Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, where Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time is 10 minutes after 3. And breaking news, as you heard on News Radio 930 WBEN, a brick fell from an indeterminate distance or altitude from the Liberty Building in Buffalo and hit somebody right on the head. I love the Liberty Building. Beautiful elevators. Joining us right now is Brayton Wilson from News Radio 930. And Brayton, I know that you were just on with Tom Puckett, but do we have any idea how high up this brick was located? Have they determined its origin point?
So they were telling us, a city spokesperson told us, that it appears that the bricks may have fallen from, say, the 13th or 14th floor of the building and down below onto one of the individuals walking, happened to just walk by where those bricks fell. And at this point, we have been told that that individual was alert and awake as he was being tended by paramedics and first responders that came to the scene in response to this incident. And haven't heard really much more from that. But yeah, they're saying that about 13, 14 floors up where those bricks fell from.
Okay, that's a significant distance for a brick to fall and hit you on the head. Was any work being done at the time in that area from which the brick fell?
Nothing seemed to indicate to me that there was any sort of work going on. Now, since then, they've towed away a couple of vehicles that were right by that sidewalk where those bricks fell. I don't think there was any damage sustained to those vehicles as a result of those bricks falling, but they wanted to clear those out just so I'm sure that they could get some people up there to try and further investigate why those bricks might have fallen from that spot on the building.
Good Lord. I mean, the building was built in 1925. And obviously, it's a century old, give or take a few days or weeks. And I don't remember the last time I've heard about a single brick falling from a building in Buffalo. The Statler had some stuff falling from it at one point, but that seems to have been remediated. But at what time did this happen, Brayton?
So the officials told us that it happened just after like 1:10 in the afternoon, where they got the first call about the incident. And they responded pretty quickly, and they had people there. They had Buffalo Fire, they had Buffalo Police, they had the NFTA, they had ambulances, other first responders on scene to assess the situation, tend to the individual that was struck by the brick, and really they were there all the way till up about 2:30 when they started to clear out some of the first responders. Buffalo Fire left the scene. The only people that are on scene currently right now are Buffalo police officers, but these are officers that are just tending to traffic, making sure that no traffic goes between Court Street and the part of Pearl right by the RAF building downtown.
And the Liberty Building, by the way, is home to a lot of attorneys. Was there any indication that a line of attorneys formed to give the guy his car, their cards upon his being hit by the brick?
No, I did not see anybody there when I first got there. You know, I was already downtown, so it just happened chance that I was close to the vicinity when I was, you know, informed of this. So happened to get down there as soon as I could. And when I had gotten there, there were still a number of first responders and other personnel that were down there, but no lawyers, nothing that I saw from.
I just wanted to know to be on the safe side. As far as the person who got conked in the head with a brick, he is alive, he is alert, he is awake, he is responsive, and being evaluated right now at a local hospital, which is good considering it fell from what, the 13th or 14th floor of the Liberty Building. Apparently, that's really something. Do we know anything about the person who got conked in the head with the brick? Old fellow, young guy?
No, nothing that we know of specifically in terms of demographics with this person, I guess I could say, but other than the city spokesperson that we talked to informed us that he was awake, alert, and was taken to a nearby hospital for further evaluation.
Well, thank God he's okay. As far as the city is concerned, is there any indication that the city is going to have any kind of an inspection of the Liberty Building?
So it seems like that they already had a number of different city personnel on site. That wasn't just Buffalo police officers trying to close off traffic on Pearl Street right by the Liberty Building. It looked like they had other personnel from the city, whether it be Department of Permits and Inspections there. I didn't see the Commissioner Kathy Amder or anything like that there, but probably people from her office that were at least waiting for probably the vehicles that were parked on the sidewalk near the building to be cleared out. And then I would assume that they would probably look further into what happened there or where specifically from that building those bricks fell.
Did the brick fall anywhere near the Tim Hortons inside, you know?
No, that's on the opposite side of the building. The Tim Hortons is on the corner of Main and Court Street, and the bricks fell on Pearl Street closer to Court.
Yeah, right where I crossed the street from the parking lot across. So I'm glad I wasn't there this morning because I don't think I would have been that lucky. But I know it's pretty remarkable that a brick falls from that kind of an altitude and the individual it struck in the head is okay. Thank goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty remarkable to see just at where they estimate the height of those bricks to fall. I mean, we were told that they were hit in the head. Now, you know, could that be different? We're not sure yet, but we're going by what we were told from the city spokesperson. But if that person, you know, is okay, thank goodness, first off. But second off, that's pretty remarkable, like you said, that they were able to come away with this. Yeah, they're probably hurt and, you know, being evaluated further. But if they're able to survive, that's pretty remarkable.
Well, apparently not just survive, but they don't seem to be any worse the wear for it. At least let's hope that those early reports are true, Brayton. I know that Right. You're going to be on this all day long, and obviously the best to the individual who got conked in the head with a brick. I don't know if it was a direct smash to the top of the head or whether it was a glancing blow, but still, good Lord. I hope they let him keep the brick as a souvenir to give to his kids and grandkids.
Yeah, save that on the mantle. Tell them this was the brick that almost took my life, but here we are today.
Wow, that is amazing. Brayton, thank you very much, man. I appreciate your time, and stay hydrated, stay cool.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, Brayton Wilson from News Radio 930 WBEN. That's just an amazing story. I mean, it's not unusual walking around downtown. If the Falcons are out to maybe get hit in the head with a dead rodent or something that the Falcons have dined upon, or a dead pigeon, but a brick from the Liberty Building? That's astonishing to me. And I'll tell you, it hits close to home because I'm not an infrequent guest at the Liberty Building. And I love the elevators. And you check in and there's a security guy there, wants to know who you're seeing at the building and everything. But anyway, wow. We will have more details, hopefully, as the afternoon wears on News Radio 930 WBEN. Dang. That's a story to tell. It is, I said the word dang. Okay, that is the first time ever, I believe, I've used the word dang on the radio. But this story is just, it's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Now, another thing that I think is remarkable is, and Joe Beamer talked about this, but frankly, I thought it was really, really interesting. Now, the light rail in Buffalo, the Metro Rail. First of all, compared to other comparably sized cities, you should know that the light rail in Buffalo has a ridiculously low ridership, okay? It's not Seattle. It really isn't Seattle. It's not any number of cities that have light rail. And do you remember back in the 1970s when they were building the light rail rapid transit system, the Metro Rail? Do you remember that? Okay. Maybe you remember the hit that took place during the construction of the Metro Rail. Okay. But they were building it, and I was young, obviously, when they were building the Metro Rail, but I remember the promises of this is really going to help revitalize Buffalo. Okay, well, what happened in Buffalo? Buffalo continued to spiral down the drain, even after the Metro Rail. This is going to really add to the business footprint along the Metro Rail. That didn't exactly happen, did it? I mean, I'm sorry, it just didn't happen. So let's see. Very low ridership on the Metro Rail compared to the buses. The buses get tens of millions of people a year from the NFTA to ride the buses, and the Metro Rail simply does not, and it never has, and it probably never will. Well, that's because it doesn't go anywhere. Okay, well then tell me, is it worth over $1 billion, probably $1.5 billion, $1.6 billion, to build a spur on the Metro Rail, which will go along Niagara Falls Boulevard, and then up Maple Road, and then out Sweet Home, and to the UB Amherst campus? Is that going to be any better? I mean, you do have a built-in population of roughly 30,000 students, at least right now. And who knows what college education is going to be like in the years to come with AI and everything, because I think AI is going to have more of a dramatic effect on people's lives than even you might think right now. And I'm not sure that a 30,000 student UB is going to be sustainable given the new realities that are going to be foisted upon us by AI. Not to mention the fact that, frankly, I happen to believe that most people are much better off, instead of spending thousands, tens of thousands of dollars getting a liberal arts degree, probably better off going to trade school and learning how to become an electrician or a plumber or something along those lines, something that is actually practical, because no matter what, people always need a plumber, people always need an electrician. I know that might not be popular with some people, but it's the way I have come to believe and the way I've come to think about these things. So anyway, $1 billion plus. I honestly don't see the point to it. And by the way, I should point out, I'm not here to mock or say horrible things about the Metro Rail for myself personally, because I personally have been a fan of the Metro Rail. Believe it or not, I'm one of its riders. And hey, going to a Sabres game or going to a concert, I would much rather hop on the Metro Rail from UB South Campus on Main Street and take the train pretty much to the front door of the arena than I would drive and park there. True story. My mother was in her 80s, and we went to Paul McCartney back in 2015. We took the train. Everybody knew, Tom's taking the train, I'm taking the train. I happen to like the train because the train got me from point A to point B, and it was very convenient to my home, and that was good. So I actually like the Metro Rail. More often than not, going to a Sabres game, we would hop on the Metro Rail and just take the train down, because I don't like dealing with traffic. When there's a lot of cars and there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, I hate driving in those kinds of situations. I really do. It doesn't matter where in the world it is. I just can't stand congested driving. Give me the thruway, baby. Give me the turnpike. Give me anything, but just not where there's a lot of cars and a lot of congestion and a lot of people walking in front of your car because they're busy on their cell phone. They don't even know you're there, and you got to slam the brakes on. And then if you hit them, you know, you're going to be the one taking the breathalyzer and, you know, whatever. Not that you would ever be driving, of course, when you are when you're three sheets to the wind or even two sheets to the wind. But, you know, who needs the aggravation? But personally, I have to tell you, and here's where I have to draw a line in the sand or a line through the topic. Personally, I like the Metro Rail. Personally, I found the Metro Rail, the Buffalo Light Rail, to be very convenient for me. But that is based on from where I was coming. Had I lived in Orchard Park, it would have been a totally different situation because it wouldn't have been convenient for me. Had I lived across town, it would not have been as convenient for me. But given where my home is located and where the station was, the terminus, or would that be the beginning, of the Metro Rail, the UB Main Street campus, I thought it was awesome. And I used it as much as I possibly could because, frankly, the cost benefit, the benefit far outweighed the costs of the Metro Rail. The only thing I say about the Metro Rail at UB is there were times when the escalator was broken. And as Mitch Hedberg says, the escalator can never be broken. It can only become stairs. Thank you for the convenience. Okay, that is one hell of a staircase when the escalator breaks and you got to walk up from the bottom of the UB Main Street Metro Rail station. Oh, good heavens, bring an oxygen tank or something. It's tough. I mean, God forbid somebody's disabled. Well, they've got an elevator there, but you get the idea. And I never did master the art of the new electronic machines instead of human beings. I always look for the human being no matter where I am. Keeps people employed. I'm doing my part. 803-0930, the expansion of the Metro Rail. Can you justify the cost if it was your money? Well, actually, some of it is going to be your money. See, when they say, by the way, when they say, well, the federal government is going to be supplying this amount of money. Really? And from where does the federal government get its money? Oh, I'm sorry. It gets it from your income taxes and from every other tax that is levied upon companies, corporations, individuals in the United States. Okay, so it's not the federal government saying, hey, we just happen to have this pile of money that appeared from nowhere, and we're going to give some to Buffalo so it can upgrade its Metro Rail. Well, the state is committed to $200 million for this project because, after all, it's going to help the environment. Really? Really? Okay, sure. you're going to talk about helping the environment at the same time as your minions have been pushing wind turbines in Lake Erie. Okay, good, good, good for you. But $200 million of state money, that's $200 million of your money. And that's money, frankly, they're taking out of inmates' pockets so they could be making free calls to their families all day. I am a little bit outraged by that. So, the Metro Rail expansion, does this sound like a winning idea to you, or do you have severe doubts about it? I have grave doubts about it, not to mention the fact that the population of Buffalo, when it was built, the Metro Rail originally was built, okay, population of Buffalo was like 500,000 people, 500,000 people. You know what it is now in the city anyway? 280,000 people. But 16,000 people moved in according to the last census. Okay, seems to me like you've still got a ways to go to keep up with 1970s population level. Just keep pouring in. How many of those are illegal immigrants, by the way, versus people who came from New York City because of the reduced cost of living? But I'm not sold in this idea, honestly. You might tell. Even though I personally love the Metro Rail, and I personally use the Metro Rail every chance I possibly could to use the Metro Rail. But expanding it, I just don't see that it's going to justify over a $1 billion price tag. Oh, it's going to be great for the developers. Going to be great for the unions that are involved in the project, for the actually doing the work. It's going to be great for Doug Jamal and the Boulevard Mall. It's going to be really, it's going to be a windfall for these people, but for the taxpayer. And how about the people along, if you are in the neighborhood through which the new Metro Rail is proposed that it's going to be going, yes or no? I know there's a group that is trying to stop this, but I would like to hear from people who are, as they say, stakeholders in this. And of course, stakeholders would also include people who say, well, this is a jolly good idea. I live in the neighborhood and I work at UB and this is going to be perfect for me. Okay, that's great. I hope it is perfect for you if it actually comes to be. But why would you invest over $1 billion, like $1.5 billion or more dollars into something like this at the same time as there are so many other needs that Buffalo and Erie County happens to have, like the aging sewer system? You know how many of your sewer pipes go back to the 1800s, the late 1800s? Seriously? And we're going to worry about building this boondoggle, which is what the original Metro Rail proved to be, a boondoggle? Compared to the buses, nobody takes the Metro Rail. I might be the only one who loves the Metro Rail, okay? And I'm going against my own interest here, but I have to. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. Yes or no to the Metro Rail expansion down the boulevard, up Sweet Home Road, after it traverses Maple Road. By the way, they want to do something to help out the UB students. How about pedestrian walkways over Millersport Highway and Maple Road? Because I've been on that bandwagon for years and nothing has happened. And it's only a matter of time before, on a winter's day with icy conditions, a car barrels into a bunch of students and we are talking about a tragedy. It's so obvious that it's going to happen at some point. Oh, it's a train song, and it's by the Monkees, somebody that somebody a few weeks ago said was just no good whatsoever, and maybe he had a point, but that song kind of rocks. It is 3:40, and tune in this week for your chance to win two tickets to the Buffalo Bisons home game on Saturday at Salem Field at 6:35 p.m. Celebrate women in sports, plus a home a post-game drone show. And suddenly the computer has started to spit out content that I don't need right now. Kind of just be quiet, computer. Be very, very quiet. Oh, good Lord. What is going on here? Boy, I'm in the middle of a show. Couldn't have done this during the break. It has to do it right when the microphone goes on. So let's get rid of that, shall we? Okay. Good Lord. Thank you, Channel 2, for the pop-ups. Nice. 3:41 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That is Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time. So the Joe Beamer was talking about this, and I absolutely am stealing a Joe Beamer topic because I was kind of wrapped up in it, and I thought you guys might be wrapped up in it too. Apparently, I was wrong. But the plan to expand the Metro Rail in Buffalo, here's what's going on. There's a comprehensive plan to expand Buffalo's Metro Rail, and the expansion plans are considering a 7-mile transit extension from the current University Station South Campus northward toward the University of Buffalo North Campus, passing through Amherst and potentially Tonawanda. About 10 new stations would be added, with park and ride facilities and a maintenance yard. There are, a light rail transit extension or bus rapid transit along essentially the same corridor. Those are being considered and talked about. Now, the original total cost for this, when they first started talking about it, was $1.2 billion. But figuring inflation, you're looking more like about $1.5 million. Figuring cost overruns, which always happen in these projects. Have you noticed that? These projects always go well beyond what we were told they were going to cost. And many of you did not like it when I said, I think the state and the county got a deal on the new stadium, because part of the new stadium deal is that the Pegula family is covering the cost overruns. And I told you way back when, I said, hey, there are going to be monumental cost overruns with this project, and the Pegulas are paying for the overruns. I think this is a good deal as far as NFL stadiums are concerned. And I hate to say it, but, well, actually, I rather like saying it, but I was proven to be correct, because that bad boy, that behemoth is going to be well over budget, and it ain't coming out of our pockets. It's coming out of Terry's pockets, and that's all fine with me. He's got the bread. Environmental reviews, expected completion February 28th, 2026, which, by the way, is rapidly approaching. We're talking about a half year or so. Design study expected to wrap up in 2027. Construction would take about 4 years. Let's multiply that by Buffalo, I'm going to say by six. So 6 years, we'll call it. 2028, that's when construction could begin. So for many of you, by the time this thing is done, it's going to be 2032, 2033, somewhere in there. Now, the people who want the Metro Rail expanded, I'll give you some of the summaries of what they're basically saying. It would double the length of the rail system, and it would connect places like UB's North Campus, Maple Road Retail, Tonawanda potentially, the Boulevard Mall redevelopment, light rail transit is seen as a high-capacity, low-emissions transit option, smoother rides, longer vehicle lifespan compared to buses. They're big on the idea that it'll be walkable. It'll make the area more walkable. We'll have mixed-income housing. It's going to create jobs. It'll have services near the rail stations. Okay, when I read arguments like that, can we just go back to Main Street in Buffalo? We were told that Main Street was going to be an economic paradise because of the tunnel and the coming out of the tunnel part of the Metro Rail. Remember that? It was going to be the panacea, and it didn't happen, because upon the completion of the Metro Rail, what happened? Continuing disintegration of retail, businesses, and pretty much everything downtown. And the only thing that really, a few things revivified to some extent downtown Buffalo, but one of the things that did, frankly, was the Pegulas again, and the canal side situation. That was very instrumental, I think, to getting people downtown, because people like to be, actually, they love to be near the water. People who want this extension also say that bus driver shortages hitting local bus service, so that would be a way to ameliorate that. Now, the concerns, people who don't want to see this project go forward to expand and enlarge and lengthen the, sounds like a male product, to lengthen the Metro Rail, say that, look, the ridership right now does not exist a further expansion. Why would you put $1.5 billion at least dollars into something that clearly the market simply does not exist to bear the load? Because on the existing Metro Rail, people who are against this new project say ticketing systems and stations are not really upkept that well. They're in disrepair, even though they get lots of subsidies. So there's doubts. If you can't take care of what you got now, why get something even more involved? How are you going to be able to take care of that? That's the argument there. The operating costs every year, $15.8 million. Can we call it $16 million? Okay, $16.8 million in operating costs, And fair revenue is only going to cover about half of that unless UB or other stakeholders contribute significantly. Okay, let's talk about that. How would UB contribute significantly? With grant money from the state, which is taxpayer money that we send to Albany and then they give to UB, then UB gives to the authority? Or is that UB is going to reach into its own pockets and write checks of its own free will and of its own volition and with its own money to cover the operating costs? Why do I feel that that just wouldn't happen? The burden on taxpayers is a concern because right now, $47 million in unrestricted mortgage tax funding goes to the NFTA. There is a Stop the Metro group, and it is emphasizing disruption in suburban neighborhoods. Maybe somebody with Stop the Metro is listening, would like to call in and tell us how that mobilization is going. Construction would involve drilling and tunneling through limestone and shale. So there's going to be noise, blasting, contamination near residential zones like Eggertsville and Kenilworth. Over 10,000 homes and businesses could be directly impacted by construction risks, including home damage and insurance claims. Local businesses along University Plaza and Niagara Falls Boulevard have expressed concern over reduced customer access during a prolonged construction period, possibly up to a decade. Wait a minute, what happened to 4 years? Oh, yeah, cost overruns and time overruns. That could lead to closures of business. So if people, look, as we found out during the initial Metro Rail construction, if people can't get into your business or they can't park for your business, you're not going to have a business very long, okay? It just isn't going to happen. By the way, a study done, this goes back to 2007. We're talking about a long time ago. UB study found that some existing Metro Rail stations actually brought nearby property values down. Development around existing stations hasn't materialized as promised. And that's one of the things that the proponents of this are saying, that, hey, your property values are going to go way up. If they put a Metro Rail near your property, if they put a station near your property, you should count your lucky stars because happy days are here again. But that really hasn't been borne out by history, according to the information that I have in front of me. So the expansion, extension of the Metro Rail, let's call it $1 billion, that's B as in Bravo, $1.5 billion. Is that something you can get behind, or does it sound like a half-butted idea that is maybe nice on paper, but it just, Buffalo just isn't a rail town. It just isn't. You've got UB as a captive audience, but at this point, I thought the UB South campus had one purpose and the UB Amherst campus had another. Is there a lot of interfacing between the two, you know, the medical students and everybody else? Back when I went to UB, we had a bus shuttle service, which I'm sure still operates today. I've seen the buses that took us between Main Street and Amherst. And it was very, very convenient for those of us who are commuting students. And many, many a time, hundreds of times, probably thousands of times, I was on one of those buses shuttling between UB Main Street, UB Amherst, UB Main Street, UB Amherst, sometimes a couple of times a day. I don't know that a train, first of all, it was easy to catch the bus from the building. I don't know if it's going to be if it would have been as easy to walk over to the rail station to pick up the train. Probably would have just taken a bus or hitchhiked. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. For or against expanding Metro Rail? Is this an idea that is absolutely brilliant, or is this just urinating away another $1.5 billion, which I happen to believe it is, even though I really like the Metro Rail? I mean, seriously, I love the Metro Rail. Taking it to Sabres games or concerts was awesome. Here's Danielle in Amherst on WBEN. Danielle, yes or no to expanding the Metro Rail?
Absolutely not. I don't want my tax dollars used for this. If UB wants it, they can take the money out. They got plenty. I used to use the rail system when I first got out of college. I used to park my car at the university. I used to take it to M&T.
Oh, yeah.
It was so unsafe, I stopped taking it. If I got stuck at the office after 6 o'clock at night, it was so uncomfortable on that rail. And then my husband used to take it to Canisius when he used to live in the university area, and he got mugged a decent number of times taking that to Kenesha.
Wait, did he get mugged on the train or in the station or in the neighborhood? Tell us about these multiple muggings.
In the station. I think he told me he's in the station and then also walking from the station close to LaSalle Station.
Good heavens. Because, you know, that was one of the pitches the NFTA made when it was opened, was that safety is our number one priority. And I guess it wasn't.
Oh, my gosh, no. Did not. I mean, even when I got out of college and I got my first job, I thought it'd be great. I'm like, oh, I'll park my car. It was just, my stomach was in the pit. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And then I started to pay for a parking lot after that.
Wow. Okay, so you see, I will tell you that basically, I mean, my story, if you'd like to hear it, is I would get on at UB, and I would go to the arena. Okay, when going to concerts or Sabres games or something like that,
yeah.
And I'll still do it.
Me too.
Because there's lots of people. I never felt unsafe whatsoever. But then again, I wasn't there on a Tuesday night when I was the only person in the car, and it was 7:30 at night. And oh yeah, I was a woman. That didn't happen.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I used to take it to the Bison's game, Sabres game, everything, and it was the same thing. When you have a lot of people, it's great. But when you're stuck at odd hours where it's not a lot of riders, it's just you don't feel comfortable.
Well, okay, not feeling comfortable and actually being in danger are two different things. Would you agree with that statement?
I would 100% agree with you on that, Tom. Yeah.
So if you legitimately felt like you were in danger, I can understand it. Being uncomfortable a lot of times is something you can work through. Although you always need to go with your gut. And if your gut tells you this is an unsafe situation, then follow your gut.
Exactly. And now that I'm a taxpayer paying thousands of dollars in property taxes now, I see that where's the ROI on this? How many tickets can they sell to make the money back on this? Like simple
that
math.
That's the question. That's the question right there. What is the return on investment of this project? I don't see it. And you know what? Let's put it this way. Let's just imagine we had private railroad companies still in existence and the Vanderbilts were eyeing this. Do you think they'd invest this kind of money for that kind of return? Hell no.
Exactly. They would look at it and go, this is a bad deal. And until Buffalo can really get it together and have a great project and stay on budget and maybe increase our population, then maybe. But we're just not there. We've lost so much population, especially with the 2007 study. It's different here in 2025.
Well, I'm sure that should Sean Ryan win the mayor's office in Buffalo, that one of his things will be offering free rides to all convicted felons on the Metro Rail so they can be transported to Amherst.
Yeah, and there my taxes go up again.
Indeed.
Right?
Yes, Danielle. Thank you. I appreciate the call. And by the way, if Buffalo is shrinking, Amherst, by the way, and Williamsville are growing suburban areas of Buffalo. They are growing. There's no two ways about it. UB is growing, but I don't know for how long UB is going to grow. And that's my alma mater, by the way. And I say that because I think AI is fundamentally going to change the world. It's not going to fundamentally change America. It's going to fundamentally change the world. And I think a lot of things for which people are trained now, I'm not even sure they're going to be jobs. I think it's all going to be AI, or a lot of it is going to be AI. You want to get somewhere in life, learn AI or robotic repair. Said that years ago. I guess I'm a prophet. Methinks I'm a prophet reborn. It is, was that John of Gaunt? Henry IV, part one? Anyway, it is 3:56, born anew. Born anew, I believe, is a line. 3:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll mangle more Shakespeare coming up in the next hour. 8 minutes after four, that is WBEN Arthur Pressman Traffic Attorney Time, and the proposal is to expand the Metro Rail, which has a ridiculously low ridership. It's not even close. The number of buses that are used, the number of bus rides and riders in the NFTA system versus Metro Rail, it's not even close, and Buffalo does not even compare favorably to other similar-sized cities with light rail rapid transit. I always thought they should have called it the Frontier Area Rapid Transit. For one thing, the acronym would be FART. I mean, there's that. 803-0930 is the phone number. Always gets down to flatulence, doesn't it? *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And nice day to cool off in Lake Feces. Here is Jim on a cell phone. Jim, the expansion of the light rail rapid transit, which for those who don't know, they want it to go from UB Main Street campus out Niagara Falls Boulevard which they paved over that brick part of it, much to my non-delight. And then Niagara Falls Boulevard and up Maple Road, out Sweet Home to UB, all the way to Audubon. So you're on WBEN, Jim.
Thank you, Tom. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Good. Well, first off, happy Chicken Wing Day. This was, I liked the newscast. It was great.
Well, you know, the thing about chicken wings is that most places cook them in seed oil, and I'm convinced that seed oil is the son of Satan. So I'm all about chicken wings that are air fried or maybe cooked in beef tallow. Just thought you should know.
Okay. Well, I liked your last caller who talked about who pays for things. People who ride transit have to pay every time they get on, every time they go someplace. Who's going to pay? The same thing that happens with the buses at UB. They're paid for by students out of a bus fee that they have to pay. It's called the parking fee. It's based on their tuition. Bus state, same thing. Bus state students have unlimited use of Metro bus and rail. UB students do not, but they're working on an agreement between that. There will be a public hearing on August 19th. It'll be at the Sweet Home Middle School on Maple Road in the evening about 6 o'clock. I encourage anybody who has any questions to go there because the people who are actually running the show will be there to answer questions. But, yeah, it should go. There's 20,000 students that have to be bused back and forth every day between the two campuses, and that's going to increase as UB grows. When you went there, there was half as many students, but I can show you.
But we were far better. We were far better students, just so you know.
We were. I'm up in your age, Tom. But they don't have to pay for the roads. The students don't have to pay for Millersport Highway or any of the streets, Main Street, that connect everything. Neither do the motorists.
Yeah, but Jim, can we just stop at this point when it comes to paying for things? You talked about the bus, we'll call it the bus tax of UB. The NFTA in general, let's go back to 2020, the last year for which I happen to have found statistics. Guess how much of the operating expenses of the NFTA were actually paid for by the people riding the buses and the train? Guess how much?
It's a small percentage.
25%. You know where the rest of it came from? From subsidies. Where do you think the subsidies came from, the 75%?
That came from taxpayers.
Right. I rest my case. I mean, so why would we want to put over $1 billion into what is a boondoggle that is going to be another drain on taxpayers in Western New York and New York State who are already being sucked dry?
All right, well, road subsidies are 100%. So it's at least they pay a portion. There's a big discussion as to whether transit fares should be increased or removed. Kansas City removed theirs, and it wrecked their transit system. There was a time many years ago, NFTA did a study. The study said you should increase fares and increase service, and your revenue will go up. They did that. It went up, and ridership nearly doubled when they raised the fares. So there's good reason.
And what did that do to their budget? What did that do to revenue versus expenses? That doesn't sound like a winning business model to me. And you mentioned roads. I mean, sir, roads are something that people need. You need a way to get from point A to point B so that commerce and the economy can thrive. And, of course, government can collect its end because government always has to wet its beak in some way, shape, or form. This, to me, seems like a luxury boondoggle, just like the original Metro Rail was. It was a waste, complete and total waste of money.
Well, on a per-passenger basis, I think it works out pretty well. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I wish I could help you, but I'll get those eventually to you. What I'm thinking more along the lines of is when you've got people riding on a system, there's various people, up to 30% of the people in Buffalo, households in Buffalo, do not have a car. They're dependent on public transportation. They're dependent on alternative ways of getting from point A to point B. So those people are paying for roads they're not using.
In part, but a lot of the money that funds the roads, let's see, the drivers in New York State are paying 33.8% per gallon gasoline taxes, which pays for roads. not adjusted for inflation. And of course, revenues, by the way, those revenues are going to go down as cars become more fuel efficient or they switch over to electric, which is the wet dream of the politicians of New York State. Vehicle registration and licensing fees, that goes to help pay for the roads. Sales tax and general fund allocations, that goes to pay for the roads. So the idea that drivers are somehow getting a free ride and everybody else is the good guy wearing the white hat, I think is specious.
Well, I agree with you to up to a point. I just wanted to point out that transit riders are kicking in, like you said, 25% of the, they're paying for at least a quarter of the load compared to other forms of transit.
Right, but people who own their own automobiles, I mean, they're paying 100% of their the money it costs for the automobile, the registration, the gasoline, the insurance, and I'm just saying that if you've got a system. Look at the return on investment. Would you ever invest in the NFTA if you realized, if you didn't have subsidies for the NFTA, if it only made 25 cents on the dollar? Would you invest in that? I wouldn't. Why would I want taxpayers to foot that?
I look back to the time before the 1950s when all of the transit was private, and it was a money-making scheme. They actually made money delivering transit. Buffalo used to have transit on Main Street, light rail transit on Main Street. It had rail on many, many side streets. You drive down Fillmore, Hurdle, Kenmore Avenue, all of these streets used to have rail, and it was a profitable business.
It was. It isn't anymore.
Well, there are reasons, and that is the subsidies for the cars. So there's a big question if you just stop.
Wait, subsidies for cars? Nobody gave me a subsidy to buy my car.
Well, no, but the oil companies get subsidized to go looking for oil, and they get subsidized for other things.
Well, oil is a strategic resource for the country's national security. I think it's a little bit different than a choo-choo train.
Okay, so, well, how would you feel about privatizing the roads?
I'd need to think about it.
Because we used to have private roads. Hamburg Turnpike. Called a turnpike because you used to have to pay a toll to go from one end of it to the other.
Well, same thing with Main Street from Batavia to Williamsville, Gettysville Road in Amherst. These were private operations, and I would have to think about that. Honestly, as a rule, though, if you want an area to have commercial potential and to generate revenue, not only for people to be employed, but also for the government to, again, wet its beak, you need roads so people can get to point A to point B to spend money, or Amazon actually can deliver the package to your house.
Well, then in that case, maybe we should give free public transit to everybody and you don't have to buy a car, pay insurance, pay any of those taxes you were talking about.
No, that's not realistic because you've got elderly people and people who are disabled. How are they going to get it to the table? How are they going to get to the mode of transport? I mean, obviously, you're a big fan of light rail. I guess you're a big fan of wasting money.
No, we have something called paratransit, which is door-to-door service for people with disabilities.
Oh, yeah. If you want to wait for an hour, sure. Or longer, if you want people to be late to pick you up for doctor's appointments, it's a great thing.
Well, so I don't know. Now you're getting into a whole new program because the NFTA is working on a project called ITS for Us, where they are working on a computerized system where you can just, it'll be an app on your phone if you're a person who qualifies for paratransit, and it will automatically come and pick you up and take you where you want to go, and it'll get
right.
You
there. That doesn't help Thelma and Cheektowaga today, does it? It's not like apps are a new,
it's not like apps are
a new thing. But I mean, you haven't told me anything. You've not convinced me that this is worth $1.5 billion. Can you please tell everybody listening why this project, which basically it seems like a UB friendly project, and that's about it, why this project is more important, for example, than upgrading the sewers in the city of Buffalo and the first ring suburbs, which go back to the late 1800s in some cases, and which are constantly sources of headaches?
Well, it's hard to get transit money for sewer repairs because you're not allowed to spend it on sewer repairs. Transit money has to go to transit.
I understand that. But why? You know what this is about? This is about politicians and others wanting a nice legacy project that they can say, look, my legacy is I built the extension of the Metro Rail. It has nothing to do with reality. Nobody's going to ride the thing. And if they ride it, it's still not going to make any money. Why would you build something that's going to lose money, that's going to cost taxpayers even more money? I don't get it. But then again, it's New York State. I don't understand a lot about New York State. I think it's nuts.
I don't see people concerned about legacy projects. Is Delaware Avenue a legacy project for some politician?
Yeah, I think it is for some of them, yes.
Well, then I don't see their names all over it. The only one
Oh, you see them at the press conferences. You see them at the press conferences. I mean, wasn't it Tim Kennedy had the press conference about, what, 200,000, three? It was a 600,000 going to NFTA about a year ago. I mean, they love to show up with the federal money bag. So that is part of their legacy, and it's free political advertising. How about you? Do you think the NFTA extension is a good deal? I think it's another middle finger to taxpayers, quite frankly. The original Metro Rail was a waste of money. It was a boondoggle. Nobody rides the damn thing. And that now they want to extend something that has been shown not to work, another 7 miles. What? So it cannot work for another 7 miles? It can lose more money? Why would you throw good money after bad? I don't get it. People ride the buses in Western New York. They don't ride the Metro Rail. Well, that's because it doesn't go anywhere. Well, okay, point. But at this point, when you have a population that is hemorrhaging out of Western New York, why would you put money into public transit? It doesn't make any sense to me. Jim is all for the expansion and extension of the light rail. Some people, like the NFTA, want to see it going from UB's South Campus, the Main Street campus, to Niagara Falls Boulevard, then up Maple Road, then out Sweet Home to Audubon and covering UB. Despite the fact that the return on investment simply is not there. And I did figure out, by the way, how you could get the money for the transportation into a new sewer system. You filter it through and launder it through an NGO. That's a tried and true strategy, sir.
Okay, so you mentioned population growth from 2010 to 2020. Erie County had population growth, and City of Buffalo had even greater population growth than the county. It wasn't dramatic. It was about 7%, but it's still growing.
Sir, I don't know where you're getting your numbers. I don't know where you're getting your numbers from.
U.S. Census Bureau.
I find that impossible to believe. I'm going to double check your facts, because I will tell you that when the original Metro Rail was built, Buffalo had a population of 500,000. The city of Buffalo had a population of 500,000. Now it's about 280,000. Does that sound like progress to you?
What happened to the people is they moved to the suburbs.
They moved to the suburbs. Well, that's very interesting, because actually the statistics I've got show that New York State is one of the leading states in the country, people leaving the state. Why do you think that would be?
Maybe statewide, but not in Buffalo and Erie County.
I have to double check your numbers, because that does not correspond with my reality.
If you go to the UN projection for Buffalo's metropolitan statistical area.
Oh, I trust the United Nations. I do not trust the United Nations.
Yeah, I know you don't. But it's the only one I know of that has a projection. So the projection that they came up with was that by 2045, we will have more people in this area than we've ever had.
I believe that when I see it, because people go to areas for two reasons. Number one, the age-old reason people go to a certain area is fresh water. In that respect, Buffalo in Western New York has a decided advantage over a lot of other places in the world, of which I could think, but they also go for economic opportunity and to better themselves in an economic position. And in that respect, Buffalo and New York State are way far behind a lot of places.
But they also go for the chicken wings.
Not if they're made in seed oil, sir. We established that at the beginning of the call, just so you know. Jim, I thank you very much. I appreciate your call, and we'll see what other people have to say. Jim there with, I would say, some lefty talking points on public transportation, but I have no idea like who he is or what his angle is. I got to look up the population stuff, though, because that does not correspond with what I believe to be true, but I'll double check him. If he's right, he's right. I'll give him credit for it. But it is 25 minutes after 4. The expansion of the Metro Rail. Now, Jim and I basically were polar opposites on this issue, because if you have an area that I believe is losing population. I mean, 500,000 in the 1970s, 280,000 in the city of Buffalo in 2025. I'm sure Sean Ryan's going to turn things around on a dime. I mean, it's going to be it'll be heaven on earth under Sean Ryan. Oh, my goodness. Heaven on earth for criminals, I'm sure. But anyway, the expansion of Metro Rail, good thing, bad thing? Are you for it? Are you against it? I think it's a colossal waste of money, $1.5 billion. And the way inflation is and the way projects always cost more than they say they're going to cost, I would say that it's probably going to be closer to $2 billion by the time it's done. By the way, by the time it's done, at the very earliest, it'll be 2032, and it might even be 2038 by the time it's done. And you remember the promises? The other part of my argument is, remember the promises about the original Metro Rail? How it was going to cause a resurgence and a revivification of downtown Buffalo. This is great. Businesses are going to thrive. It's going to be awesome. Well, it really, has it worked out that way? I mean, seriously, has it worked out that way? Is downtown a better place to be now than it was in the mid-1970s or the mid-1960s or the mid-1950s or the mid-1820s? Some of you were there. 803, I was there. We were broadcasting live when downtown opened, actually, in 1832. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Okay, this is freaky. This is absolutely freaky that Tanner is playing this, because he had no way of knowing that over the weekend I was listening to that song. It came to my mind and I said, I've got to turn on some Tom Petty. I didn't say a thing to Tanner about that. And suddenly Tanner, he's never played that one before that I remember. He whips that out. Tanner is incredibly, insanely telepathic. He's psychic. I'm telling you, man, you got something going on that is so totally weird, Tanner Saunders. That is bizarre. That is absolutely bizarre. Now, tell me what I did last night. It is 4:39 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Better yet, don't tell me what I did last night. Now, as far as our last caller there, Jim, I'm going to, Jim, actually, he was quite good. I mean, Jim was a great caller about the light rail. We have different opinions, and we gave it to each other as good as we, as well as we possibly could. The census numbers, I'm going to give Jim half a point and myself half a point, even though I probably should give myself the full point, because if you look at the numbers from the early 2020s, yeah, Erie County did see a slight population increase. But the latest numbers and the projections for the future that I have show that there is a decrease in Erie County, and there's also a slight decrease in the latest numbers for, to 2023 in the population of the city of Buffalo. But we're only talking about 300 people. Maybe somebody didn't answer their phone that day. I don't know. But anyway, Jim, but the other point, I think, is that if you look at the longer-term trend, the longer-term trend is not one of population growth. When I came into this business over 40 years ago, Buffalo was like the 35th biggest media market, maybe even higher than that, media market in the country. We're in the mid to upper 50s now as far as media markets are concerned, and there's a reason for that, and it's called shrinking population in the longer term. But the good news is, and I do mean this, that people go where there's fresh water. Civilization cannot exist in the absence of fresh water. And as the globe becomes more dry, shall we say, and you have areas that used to be underwater now that are dry land, as that area of landmass continues to increase, Buffalo will look more and more desirable because it is on the Great Lakes, which would be the second largest source of fresh water anywhere in the world, the inland seas. So in the long, long term, I think Buffalo is going to be fine, but I also think the politicians will find a way to mess it up, okay? I really believe that with everything in me, but the fresh water is very, 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 very important. But good call from him. Now you, are you in favor of the expansion of the Metro Rail, and what they want to do, and the soonest this would be done is 2032 at a cost of at least $1.5 billion, and I'm guessing more like $2 billion when you figure in overruns and inflation, but that's just me. That's the Bowerly BS barometer. As far as expanding the light rail, is this something that you think is a good idea? Is this going to offer return on investment? I don't think it's going to offer return on investment. I think it's going to be a money pit, quite frankly. And if it was my money, if it was my project, if somebody, you know, if I had billions of dollars and somebody said, Tom, I got a way for you to make some money and do some good, build this and see if you can make money off of it, I would take one look at it and say, yeah, you know what? No, thanks. It's not going to happen. I'm not doing this. And I don't see why taxpayers should fund something that look, if the original did not live up to what it was supposed to be, why would the sequel live up to what it was supposed to be? Hey, if the original Metro Rail was the Godfather, and then you said, hey, we've got Al Pacino and we've got De Niro and we've got all these people from the first movie. They're going to come back and do the sequel. And here's the plot. What do you think? It's a young Vito. Then it's a middle-aged Vito. I would say, you know what? That's got some possibilities. And most people would say Godfather 1 was the best, but Godfather 2 was a very close second. Most people didn't like Godfather 3, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. I disagree with that. I thought it was a fine movie, a little bit long, a little bit too operatic for me, but I think it gets a bum rap. The biggest rap is from people who live that life. We mentioned this last week, that no self-respecting Don would ever let his sister have that much power. No. The men do the business, the women cook and keep their mouths shut in that environment, in that situation. Well, that sounds awfully sexist. I didn't say I support that. I just said that's the way it goes in a certain segment of the population, okay? But anyway, how you doing? It's Bowerly on WBEN. Are you in favor of building this this 7-mile extension of the Metro Rail, which would go from UB South Campus, the Main Street Campus, it would go up Niagara Falls Boulevard, it would go past the Boulevard Mall, probably stopping at the Boulevard Mall, which would make Doug Jamal very, very happy. It would go up Maple Road, and then it would go up Sweet Home Road, and then it would go all the way to Audubon Parkway. And, you know, obviously it would be a good thing for UB students, but they've also got buses that still run back and forth all the time, do they not? And they pay the bus fee. And as far as, well, this is going to be great for the, if you live in one of these neighborhoods and your home is anywhere near a station, you should basically say that you won the lottery because your home values are going to go sky high. The reality is that wasn't the case with the Buffalo Metro Rail. Why would it be the case with the extended Metro Rail? That doesn't make any sense to me. The best indicator of past behavior is what? Well, take two. The best behavior, take three. The best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. Thank you. Give me a round of applause. I finally got it out correctly. Thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Princess. I appreciate that. But anyway, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Think about what happened to downtown Buffalo. When did downtown Buffalo start to get cool again? And did it have anything to do with Metro Rail? No, it did not. Downtown Buffalo got cool again for a number of factors, multifactorial, which the sociologist was right, multifactorial. And one of the big factors was the Pegula family discovering Buffalo and Canalside. People love the water. People gravitate to water, which is why in so much of Western New York, like the Niagara Thruway and downtown, you can't get access to the water. Makes great sense, doesn't it? Oh, I trust our politicians to always make smart decisions, but that's another story altogether for a different day. But the NFTA, according to the information that I have, the ridership of the NFTA only covers 25% of the cost of what they're riding. The rest is covered by subsidies, 75% subsidies. And that doesn't sound like it's a real good business model for anybody, does it? And who do you think subsidizes the ridership? Look in the mirror. Yeah, that's you. Aren't you subsidizing enough people and enough things right now? Wouldn't you say that you're kind of taxed to the hilt? And then wait, we talked about this last week, just wait until this electrification nonsense hits. You're going to be paying more for power. You're going to be paying more in school taxes because you're going to have to buy, somebody's going to have to buy those $450,000 electric buses, right? And that's going to be you. And that's the mandate. That's what's going to have to happen. You're going to pay for the charging stations. You're going to pay for the electricity to charge them. You're already going to be paying more with the smart meters because you're going to, they look at when you're using the power. They tack on more of a charge if you use it during peak power usage times. So you're going to be getting nailed on so many different fronts. It's not funny. So are you really going to want to be subsidizing people for riding on the, should we just say $2 billion? Is that, do you think anybody have a problem with that? The $2 billion project? Because that's what it's going to be by the time it's done. And as I said earlier, folks, you guys gave me such hell when I said I think the county got a great deal with the stadium and the state got a great deal with the stadium by NFL standards, because that bad boy is way over budget and you're not on the hook for it. The state isn't. The county isn't. The Pegula family is. They agreed to that deal. I never would have agreed. I never would have done that deal. I'd have moved the team first. So anyway, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I don't see this as being something that is viable. And I will also, if you think that I don't like trains, you're wrong. I love trains. Oh my goodness. I absolutely love trains. And there's something great about, if you have you ever been in an area where it has a vibrant rail presence, both passenger and freight, it really is pretty awesome. And you really realize the importance of the rail system. And personally, I love taking the Metro Rail from UB Main Street campus down to a Bison's game, or more frequently, of course, a Sabres game or a concert. My mom loved the Metro Rail. She was in her 80s when McCartney was in town in 2015. We took the train down along with my kids. It was a train. I wasn't going to drive. I don't like driving in crowded places. Just don't like it. Let's go to Al in Buffalo on WBEN. Al, you're 2 cents worth, sir.
My 2 cents is I worked for the NFTA for 27 years. I've seen the history of the rail. It breaks down. It's a money pit. It's through the weather and the wear and tear. It's just a money pit. And plus, I believe that some of this finances that's going to fund it is definitely going to the higher ups just to keep people's jobs fluctuating, or, you know, not all the money's going to go into the rail. Some of it's for the white shirts, and it's just a money pit. I've seen it.
So basically what you're saying is you see kind of the elements of a scam in this, that however much this project ends up costing, some of it's going to get sucked up top and not all of it's going to go into the project. Is that what you're contending?
Yeah, I'm quite sure, you know, whether it's 10, 20, or 30%, absolutely. That's the way it is.
Oh, man, sounds like Chicago back in the day. If you want to add to that, by the way, speaking of rail systems, did you know that Chicago actually had an underground, I don't mean slavery, I mean a real underground railroad that operated between mercantile establishments in Chicago back in the circa 1900 era, and it was later pressed into use during Prohibition? Did you know that?
No, I love listening to it because my wife always says, you know a lot, and you do.
Actually, I'm the stupidest person alive, and I'm incredibly insecure about that, which is why I watch documentaries on Chicago's underground choo-choo system late at night when nobody's listening. But anyway, anything you wanted to add to that, sir?
No, I just think it's a waste of money.
Well, what was the biggest maintenance thing that went down on you? I mean, forgive me,
well,
phraseology.
I don't know, because all I know is that lots of times the rail, things would happen. They would break down. And the buses are more efficient. I'm sorry. The buses are more efficient. The rails would break down. Then people would have to divert and take a bus from in between the rails. It's we live in Buffalo. It's winter here. The ground opens and closes constantly because of the hot and cold weather.
Yes, and bricks fall from buildings. I thank you very much, Al. I appreciate the call. The only thing I ever saw maintenance-wise was a couple of the ticket places were out, and the escalator at the Main Street stop seemed to go out every time. Whenever we got off the train from a Sabres game or a concert, the escalator was broken. And as I said earlier, as Mitch Hedberg once said, an escalator can never be broken. It can only become stairs. Thanks for the convenience. Sorry for the convenience. It was not a fun walk, I'm not going to lie. But I was younger then. I'm so much older than that now. So the plan, the idea of expanding the Metro Rail, the light rapid transit train, good idea, bad idea. I just don't see that this is a viable or good idea. I do believe it is a money pit, and I don't like saying that. I wish I could tell you that I felt otherwise and I thought otherwise, because personally, I think I've tried to make it clear. I love the Metro Rail. I loved getting on at Main Street and going down to a Sabres game or a concert on the train, because I'm one of those people, I don't like driving in congested areas because people just walk in front of the car and they just aren't paying attention and it's congested and just don't like that. So I was all about the Metro Rail. Doug on WBEN in Amherst.
Yeah, I'm calling in from Amherst, and I am in favor of this light rail. It's about time we extended it. And a couple of things that have been mentioned that I kind of disagree with. One is that the downtown extension killed downtown. Well, the problem then was that the zoning...
Nobody said that. The light rail was supposed to make downtown a booming area, and it did not. Nobody said that it was going to save downtown.
Well, it's coming back. There's a difference between now and then, and you're seeing a lot of development along Main Street. You know, along with the at like Fred LaSalle Station. There's a whole development going up there.
How much of that had anything to do with the Metro Rail? The Metro Rail was opened many years ago. I mean, don't you think if it was the Metro Rail that was going to happen before this?
No, no. The Metro Rail is driving that. It's called transit-oriented development. It's something that it's a phenomenon all over the country, and it's, we're seeing it in Buffalo. And the big thing driving is because the zoning is new now. Buffalo has new zoning laws, the new green code, and it doesn't have these horrible parking requirements and things that made development impossible. And it's happening, and it's a big benefit, and it's going to happen going out to Amherst as well. So I'm in favor of it. And as far as the...
Amherst doesn't need any more development, sir. Amherst, I mean, if there's a tree left in Amherst in the next year, please let me know, because I mean, a lot of people in Amherst are very concerned that Amherst is being overly developed. There's a big movement in Amherst against a lot of the development. It's enough. Amherst has been developed enough, they say.
No, I'm with you there, too. But the development along Niagara Boulevard, the Boulevard Mall, which is dying, that will be developed. Yeah, I agree. We don't need development way out in Amherst. Please don't put any more out there. I'm really upset that they did that out by the 990 and built all those houses. That was too bad. No, but and it's also along the entire line. The fact that there's going to be a connection between the university, which is one of the very biggest employers in this region, and downtown Buffalo, and along the downtown part of that line is going to benefit from this. It's already seeing benefit.
But okay, I'm not trying to be impudent here, but first of all, college students, we had a caller earlier saying, hey, have you been to the parking lot at UB's Main Street campus lately? I mean, there's Lamborghinis, there's Bentleys. I'm sorry, but I didn't see any of those very nice luxury cars at UB in all of my drives around the parking lot at UB. Maybe the occasional Beamer or Mercedes or maybe the Porsche 914 from the 1970s, but that's about it. But college students don't have a lot of money. So you get them downtown, what are they going to do? And number two, all of the times I've taken Metro Rail, I haven't seen college students just going downtown to go downtown and party. They've been going downtown to a sporting event. Hold on, through the news, I want to give you a chance to talk here on WBEN, Doug in Amherst. Transit-oriented development. See, how could it be transit-related when the Metro Rail has been open for, 40-odd years? And what, it's starting now? How does that have anything to do with transit? I'm confused about that. Shouldn't that happen 40 years ago? Maybe 35 years ago? I'm just saying. 803-0930. I got some other stuff too, but I want to have Doug after the news on WBEN. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Unfortunately, our caller did not decide to hold on through the news break, so we cannot continue our conversation. But anyway, I mean, unless he calls back, which is fine by me. But anyway, been talking about actually, I heard Joe Beamer talking about this, and I was riveted to Joe Beamer every time I turned it on, and he had the topic of, do we expand the Metro Rail, the light rail rapid transit? Do we expand that and extend it from Main Street's UB campus to the Amherst campus of UB? And I just don't understand. I don't see how in any way, shape, or form this represents something that is going to be offering anything like a positive return on investment. I think it's pouring money down an absolute rat hole. It's going to be great for the developers, going to be great for the real estate developers and the contractors, going to be great for the unions involved in the project. But in the long run, the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for it in some way, shape, or form. Remember, a federal grant is only made possible because they took money from your withholding, and a state grant. That's only possible because they screwed you out of your own money. So the governments have no money. They only take it from you and they redistribute the money. That's the big scam. Have you not caught on to that yet? So you hear about subsidies. What do you think? Do you think that some rich uncle somewhere is writing checks saying, please spend my money. I'm a multi-gazillionaire. Here, have some money. This is a subsidy. Just spend it as you wish. Just do good for society. No, it's all money that they took from you and your family to redistribute it. And as far as like mass transit, you'll forgive me, but I'm a little skeptical about this whole mass transit movement because I see it as, okay, for some of us, we grew up in an era where having your own automobile represented freedom.
You could live where you wanted and enjoy freedom. You could go where you wanted, whenever you wanted, and you had freedom. And being free and having a driver's license was one of the, it was one of the hallmarks of growing up as an American. Without that, we wouldn't have had John Mellencamp's Jack and Diane, okay? A very pivotal song in the history of this great country. But the idea of the Great American Road, Route 66, freedom, Martin Milner. These ideas, I think, are being subverted now by the global elites and their allies in the United States, who would be very happy if we all would just move into cities where we can be more easily controlled. Private car? You don't need one. Here, take rapid transit. Use public transportation. It's better for the environment, you know. Eat a bug. Better than eating a steak. Here, nice, delicious grasshopper. Knock yourself out. I just see this this whole mass transit thing, this fetish for mass transit, as playing into what the global elites want. They want us in heavily congested urban areas because we're easier to control that way. So when somebody says, oh, there's great development along the rapid transit line, to me, I think, okay, yeah, I guess in theory that sounds really good, but if you view the world as I do, it's not such a good thing because we're meant to be free and independent citizens of the United States. We're meant to be on the open road. We're not meant to be cooped up in a rail car. And in what way does that even seem like progress to you? Because you go back to the 1880s and you look at some of the articles in the many newspapers, which then flourished in Buffalo, New York, and you will see that people back then in the 1880s, they relied on mass transit. They relied on the omnibus. They relied on the trolleys or the miniature trains that ran through the city. Hey, one of them actually ran up into the village of Kenmore, which was really the first planned suburb around Buffalo, New York, if you can believe that. Yes, they really did. They did that. So now let me get this straight. We have the age of automobiles, which basically put a lot of the railroads out of business because you have the convenience of having your own set of wheels. So now we want to go back to a time where you don't have the convenience of your own set of wheels and you're relying on mass transit because you're virtue signaling. You're all about saving the saving it from what? Saving the environment from what exactly? And in what way are you actually saving it? It seems kind of silly to me. But I like freedom. I want you to have freedom. I don't want you to be subject to the whims and caprices of NFTA or any other transit authority scheduling. And I don't see it as a step forward. I see it as a step backward, to an era where, hey, if you want to go to work herded like a cow every day, like cattle, be my guest. I prefer to crank some tunes and enjoy. I don't want to be sitting next to somebody who's eating a very smelly Limburger sandwich on the train. Do you? Or somebody with chicken rice soup body odor. You ever had that? Oh, devastating. Every taxi cab, every major city in America. But anyway, 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone. I do try to outstink them, not going to lie. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. So if the automobile age was a step forward for the United States and for Americans' quality of life, how is going back to an era that we had in the 1880s through maybe the 1920s, how is that a step forward? That's a step backwards. That's a regression. That's not a progression. We should be in flying cars. We should be the Jetsons with our flying spaceships, sabotaging Elon Musk satellites and all. I mean, that could be us. Just say it. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. But see, then there's the practical thing. I mean, okay, there's this idea. See, UB students from Amherst, UB students from Main Street, they're going to hop on the train and they're going to go to downtown Buffalo and spend money. Okay, we're talking about college students. I'm sorry, when you were a college student, how much money did you actually have to spend on recreating in downtown Buffalo or anywhere else? When I went to UB, the big recreational activity was going to the old Rathskeller, which was on campus. It was a beer joint on campus at UB. That was extravagant. Oh, yeah, that was big time, baby. Buying a $1.50 bagel in the Norton cafeteria. That was absolutely, boy, you're spending money like a Rockefeller there. The poor college student, is the poor college student going to really make a big impact on the Buffalo economy? And we did have a caller earlier. I don't mean to pick on the caller earlier who called it Joe Beamer, but he was talking about, hey, have you been to the parking lot at the campus at UB Main Street? There's all sorts of cars there. There's Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Bentleys. I'm sorry. I've driven through the parking lot at UB Main Street and Amherst on many occasions. I've never seen a single Lambo, a single Ferrari, or a single Bentley in the parking lot there. And if they were there, they probably belong to a professor at the law school or the medical school. Okay? I see a lot of banged up, old, secondhand cars, which is what the college student typically is going to afford. They're not driving around in Bentleys or anything else, unless, of course, they're spies for the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, that could be. Maybe I just missed the CCP lot at UB the last time I was there. Or if you go for a concert, sometimes you'll see some nice cars. But those aren't students. Those are people visiting the campus temporarily. And if there are nice cars there, dollars to donuts, they're professors' cars. You know, I at least that's the way I see it. I mean, I think I had the nicest car of any student at UB when I was going there. And that was like a 75 Chevy Nova. Thank you very much. 803-0930, the extension of the Metro Rail, does it make any sense to you? Because I wish it made sense to me. I really do. I honestly wish that I could come on the air today and say, my goodness, it's about time this happened. This is absolutely magnificent. It's going to do well. It's going to at least break even. It's going to be magnificent in terms of convenience. It's going to be an awesome thing. But as somebody who actually likes the Metro Rail, and if there's an event at the arena, if there's an event downtown, I would say there's a 98% probability that I am going to be on the train. Now, when Russell Salvatore had his parties downtown on July 4th or near downtown, that was actually, I did take mass transit. I got on the bus that Russell rented, the old school bus that Russell rented with the windows wide open. Got your hair all nice and fixed up, got your suit on. And then by the time you got to where we're going, you looked like a mess. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let us return, shall we, together to the telephones and James in Buffalo. James, you are on the radio. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm very pro rail extension.
I'm pro mail extension, but
rail extension.
give me your reasons.
Well, I think it's kind of imperative if Buffalo wants to succeed into the 21st century, especially with, I think you made a comment on it earlier, that with certain things going on in the world, it's projected to be hotter and drier, wetter in places, and fresh water. Many people have said Buffalo is a climate haven, whatever you want to say, if you believe in that or not. But regardless,
I don't. To me, just so we're on the same page, I think climate change absolutely is happening, but it's been happening since day one of the planet, and I don't think man has anything to do with climate change. And the example I always use, if you were making this call 15,000 years ago, sir, you'd be under a mile-high glacier. But nature came along. You know, okay, so climate change I absolutely believe in, and I don't know at what point Buffalo is going to find its rebirth from an abundant source of fresh water, but I don't think it's going to be in the lifetime of your grandchildren.
So even if you never plan on using it, right, and you love to drive, you're going to drive everywhere. If you take 10% of the people from, I guess, let's say in the suburbs right on the border of Tonawanda and Amherst, who would be able to utilize this to go into the city if they work in the city, or even towards UB South. Even a 10% reduction in traffic in the morning and afternoon commutes would free up the roadway immensely. You'd be able to get to where you're going faster and never have to ride on the rail ever in your life. It would decrease DWIs and risk for traffic accidents. I mean, there's pros for people who never even intend on using it. So I think that's an important part people who were like, well, I don't know, I'll never use it. I don't want to pay for it.
Well, allow me to respectfully offer a counterpoint, if I may. I would suggest to you that the single biggest reducer of DUIs and DWIs has been ride sharing. And I'll name two companies, Uber and Lyft. I think that the light rail and mass transit is actually outdated. The ride sharing is the way to go. Is it more expensive? Yeah, but is it necessarily more expensive? It depends.
I understand what you're saying, but a lot of times on these like rail extensions into the suburbs, they have kind of transit hubs where you like Uber, Lyft drivers, whatever, what have you, will kind of know that that's a hot spot at certain times of day, so you can still utilize the. It's kind of like a double edge. You go, you know, if you say you live out in North Tonawanda, you can take the train all the way up to where the Boulevard Mall is now, for example, and then you have a much less expensive Uber ride for the rest of the way you're home.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of people do that. A lot of people will drive halfway to where they're going. If it's going to be congested, they'll park in a Wegmans lot or something, even though they probably shouldn't, and they'll meet the ride-share driver there and then smell like chicken noodle soup.
I think another thing is we can't really look at this as a money-making machine. It's just simply not the reality of almost any mass transit in the whole country. I mean, honestly, frankly, probably the whole world, but definitely in the United States.
No, but
I think
okay.
It's more or less giving people the opportunity to have as many options available for their transportation needs as possible.
But it's not even it's not even a close to break even thing. I mean, the NFTA only recovers 25% of its operating budget on ridership fares. So that means that people who have nothing to do with the NFTA or anything it offers are still subsidizing it. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem like equity to me.
I agree. I think if you like most social services, and I would consider mass transportation at a very subsidized cost, a social service is not going to be a profit center. So I think that's just like a difference in what, you know, maybe political, but it's a difference in just how the world works and should work, where not everything needs to be a moneymaker. Sometimes it's good to pay into something if other people are going to get something out of it. So I think
like the football stadium?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe. But like you said, I think that Erie County got a great deal not having to pay for maintenance costs on that thing ever again.
Or the overruns. I mean, the maintenance cost is big, too. I've not mentioned that. But the cost overruns, because we're talking about construction today, that's why I keep mentioning the cost overruns and the Pagoulas being on the hook for that. People did not like it at the time when I talked about the county and the state getting a great deal, but I think I was proven right. But anyway, I don't look at mass transit as a social program because nobody ever means tested me before I got on the train.
I understand that. It is a service that anybody, regardless of your social status or your color, gender, whatever, you can get on it. Like, the caller earlier was like, there's Lamborghinis in the parking lot at UB, and
no.
They can drive their Lamborghini and take the train if they want to. It's a free country.
No, the Lamborghinis are all in Palm Beach, just so you're aware.
Yes.
When's the last time you rode the Metro? When's the last time that you rode the Metro Rail?
To be honest, the most recent time I rode the Metro Rail was maybe a couple months ago, and it was just a short ride from Fatty Beers down to the arena.
Anything else
nice.
You want
to? I love the Metro Rail.
I love the Metro Rail, and I love trains, but when you're talking about expanding and extending the Metro, I cannot get behind this. I can't.
I think
I'll let you have the last word.
I think it would be a better use of the expansion to take it to the airport rather than Amherst, UB North. I understand the concept behind it, but I think if you could get service out to the airport would succeed, and all those people who stay at those hotels right on Genesee would come right into the city at night and spend some time in the city rather than just being probably ordering Uber Eats to their hotel room for the night.
Well, I disagree with that because people who go to a hotel the night before a flight or in between flights, typically what they're looking for is something very, very close, very, very good, so they can get back to their room and get to sleep so they can wake up at 3 in the morning so they can go through TSA. thank you very much, man. I appreciate the call.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I appreciate it.
read the news online at WBEN.com.
So what's more disgusting, what the group of mostly black mob did to the white people in Cincinnati, or the fact that the mainstream media don't cover it? Fox News is doing something on it, but the reluctance of mainstream media to say, you know, we probably have a black racism problem against white people in Cincinnati in this attack is absolutely disgusting. Because if this had been a bunch of white people beating up a bunch of black people, I'm pretty sure it would be the only thing you'd see on every TV screen all across America. And there would be searching questions all over media about what's wrong with white people in America. This is a disgusting attack. And if you're going to cover racism, you got to cover all racism. You just can't say, okay, only white people are racist. Black people are completely innocent of any racism. This is one of the most disgusting attacks you're ever going to see. And again, it's a disgusting attack, but it's also disgusting that the media are just basically ignoring it. And they're certainly not devoting as much time as they would had it been the other way around. And how are you ever going to reach any kind of, quote, equity in America if you don't call it what it is? It's racism. It's brutal. It's absolute thuggery. And fortunately, a bunch of people have been arrested so far. And hopefully everybody's going to be arrested who is involved in the beating. Now, some people look like they were trying to be the peacemakers or at least protect people when they're on the ground. But one of the shots shows a dude knocking one of the women to the ground, and she apparently blacked out. I don't know if she was playing possum or what, but this is just an absolutely appalling attack. But it's also appalling how the media, I mean, hitting the dude when he's down, that's pretty weak. That's lame. But, you know, it's just... Media needs to call out the good guys and the bad guys in this. And there were some people in the mostly black mob or mostly black crowd that were stepping in trying to prevent further damage done. But there were some people who clearly had a, I don't know if they had an issue with white people or what was said in this whole thing. But no matter what was said, I'm sorry. Once somebody's on the ground, they're on the ground. And you don't go after them after that. Can we agree on that? But, you know, a little more media coverage of this might be nice. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Bob in Orchard Park. Bob, talking about the extension proposal for the light rail rapid transit, the Metro Rail. Some people want to see it go from UB Main Street campus out Niagara Falls Boulevard, up Maple, out Sweet Home to Audubon Parkway, including UB and all the shops around UB Amherst. Go ahead.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? But you got me going here with the racial thing now.
it would not be wonderful. It would be a gigantic waste of money, in my humble opinion.
I agree with you. I can't disagree with you at all. I got a comment, though, on your comments about the racial situation in Cincinnati. I mean, you know, you got the black congressional caucus. Why? Can you imagine if they established a white congressional caucus? What the uproar? Anyway, let me talk about the...
My argument is with the media, because the media has one narrative, and this is a left-wing argument, that only white people can be racist. Any minority group, you can never be racist. And I'm sorry, that just isn't correct. My own life does not say that, and my observation of humanity does not say that. And this needs to be covered and excoriated as severely as any other situation would be if the roles were reversed, which is also absolutely disgusting and deplorable. We certainly talked about the George Floyd situation a lot, but go ahead.
Well, you can record this. You're absolutely right. You can record that, and you can play that over and over all day. The reason I called is because they're talking about extending the rail line. They have a rail line. It goes all the way from Concord through West Falls, Orchard Park, past the stadium, into Blaisdell, into Hamburg, Blaisdell, South Buffalo. There's a rail line there. All they got to do is put cars on the track. If they want to expand the rail line, why don't they just start there? They don't even put a rail line down. It's there.
But what kind of gauge are we talking about, and is it interchangeable with what the NFTA uses?
I don't know why they couldn't. They may not be able to use the same cars, but they could buy cars that fit. It's a regular rail line. It used to be used every day. They haven't used it in the past few years. But actually, there were a bunch of rail cars on there. It's a regular gauge is. I don't know what the regular gauge is.
Well, for that matter, in Williamsville, just a little bit east of South Union, you've got the old Williamsville Railroad Station. And at one time, as I mentioned earlier, there's a rail line going from downtown Buffalo into the village of Kenmore. But you know what? Those rail lines aren't accessible anymore. You know why? They paved them over for automobiles.
Because that was progress.
Oh, I know. I know.
They Orchard Park has a depot right here in the town. The line runs right up past the stadium into Blaisdell. I mean, I don't understand. Even if it's a different gauge, if it's not consistent with the downtown rail line, they could put cars on that and use it just on that line. It's the regular size, whatever the regular size for a railroad is. That's what line is.
How many people, though? I don't know when that was built, and I don't know for what purpose it was built, whether it was for crops and freight or whether it was for human beings. But you're talking about low density population areas, and it probably would make even less sense to buy a bunch of rail cars at, $1 million each and put them on those tracks? Passenger cars, I think, are a little bit more.
It's a lot cheaper than laying rail lines all the way out to Amherst.
Well, that's going to be $1.5 billion. I mean, they've got some property they've got to buy. They've got the tracks. They've got some tunneling, I guess, they've got to do, some removal of the shale, et cetera, they've got to do. Hey, maybe we'll get some natural gas out of it. I doubt it. It's New York State.
And for $10 million, they could put cars on the tracks here and run all the way from Orchard Park through all the towns and all the way into South Buffalo and downtown. Instead of $1 billion, they'd spend $10 million, maybe.
Well, they seem bound and determined, the people who are advocating this and advocating for this, to make sure that UB is involved in this. This, I mean, it sounds to me like an upgrade for UB. Well, this will make UB look better because we'll be connected to the city. Both campuses will be connected and will be connected to the city. Gee, that's really done wonders for the city with the Main Street campus being connected for decade after decade, huh?
Yeah, oh, absolute wonders. Did you mention that the cost of the metro system is funded only 25% by fares and 75% by subsidies?
As I have the information, I'm talking about the entire the entirety of the buses and rails. That is the information that I have. If that is incorrect, somebody can correct me. But that it's 25% of the operating budget of the transportation system, the buses and the rail, is covered by the fare payers, 75% through subsidies. In other words, you, me, and everybody.
Well, if they were to put cars on the tracks from Orchard Park to downtown, I don't know how they could do any worse than that. 75% is funded by the taxpayers, but I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in as a possible alternative to, if they want to be big city and have rail lines all over like New York City, well, there's one you got. The line is there. Just use it.
Hey, we'll know we're big city when people push each other under the subway tracks. Then we're big city. Can't wait till that day happens. By the way, the cost of a light rail rail car, thank you, the cost of a light rail rail car. All right, let me ask you not a trivia question, but here's a fun fact. The cost of a car for light rail, how much do you think it is? I said $1 million before. I was way off. $4 to $7 million per car. Ka-ching! Oh, my goodness. Here's Mike in Depew on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. Sounds like some of the topics going today, hypocrisy abound. But I wanted to buttress something that you had alluded to earlier, and I think which is really the crux of what's going on. As a young pre-law student at the university, I was on Main Street campus when they were doing all the dynamiting. It was disrupting our lectures on a level that you wouldn't believe. But and the other thing I was thinking was, you said something about, you were talking about cars and freedom. I don't know if you recall, but in the late 70s, early 80s, General Motors would advertise its vehicles. It's not just a car, it's your freedom. That's going back a ways. But I think the issue...
General Motors also had an ad campaign saying, hey, the Japanese are making better cars and ours suck. We better get on the dime. That was another ad. Maybe you didn't hear about that one. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, GM friends of mine. I apologize.
Something something you were alluding to earlier, I think, is really more the crux of the argument. And just to kind of buttress what I'm about to say, my own family, I live out in the suburbs. I took my kids and wife one time on the subway just to experience it. It was a novelty, and there was no further need or use for it from that point going forward. But I think the issue is more clearly defined, something you kind of skirted over, but I think it's worth reiterating the point. What you're looking at here is it's more reflective of an urban versus a rural and a suburban issue. People in urban areas will occasionally utilize mass transit. The truth is, the people who live out in the suburbs and rural areas have little, if any, use for those subway systems. I don't know if you recall, because I was seeing these even when I was teaching over in Europe. Do you recall all the protests of the last couple of years in places like France? They called them the yellow vests, and they had farmers coming in with tractors, and there were riots, and the police were shooting tear gas. And this was going on in a lot of European cities. It's over this issue. The European countries rely heavily on rail systems, but the outer area farmers and the people who work in the suburban rural areas, which are nowhere near the size of America, to subsidize those systems, they've been putting gas tax on fuel. And farmers and people in the suburbs cannot afford to run their vehicles. And these clashes are going on in Europe all the time, and they tend to wear yellow vests, and it is really becoming a destabilizing factor and all throughout Western Europe. And
actually, I would argue that the unchecked immigration into Europe is the biggest destabilizing fact in Europe. And kudos to President Trump for calling out the European leaders on his trip over there. That took some serious cojones. You better get your immigration situation. You better get on track. You better get your house in order. Get your act together.
And you know, you were also alluding to the fact you're talking about return on investment. We're not going to see that. But in one way or the other, these systems will be in the long term subsidized. And so this issue with the rapid transit and even things relative to climate change, it keeps coming back to this new divide in our country. I think this is a more significant divide than issues of color. It is rural versus urban. The political parties are even divided along these lines. And I think this is working some extent greater to the detriment of our country than even these racial issues. If you look at Europe, for example, Europe is overwhelmingly socialist, and they are because socialism is, in essence, planned government. The government plans the economy. Capitalism is more of a partnership between government and the economy. So the idea that we were looking in cities and urban areas, because of the circumstances, they generally look for the government to plan and care for those particular topics and issues. You see that with gas versus electric. And so the urban areas are very much in favor of this. That would really be planned government versus a partnership between government and the economy. So I think what we're looking at here is this new political divide. And as long as this country continues to move on that trajectory, I think this could easily surpass the issue relative to race. I see this being the bigger dilemma and the bigger problem. The issue for America, and I know the Europeans could never seem to understand this, that won't work for us. We have people who commute from areas 40 to 50 miles outside of our urban centers. You cannot run railheads to those particular locations. So this whole idea of planned government will not work here. But it does become a source of irritation. And in the end, I think you were alluding to this earlier, it will be a subsidized system. There's not enough of a ridership, protracted-wise, to keep this a viable economic model. It will recover. It will require long-term subsidization.
I mean, absolutely, positively. And I don't see why you would throw good money after bad. We were given a lot of promises when the light rail came to Main Street in Buffalo. None of those promises came to fruition, certainly not because of the Metro Rail. It was a boondoggle. And back in the 1970s, the initial cost of that project was $500 million, $500 billion. And just the extension now, the 7-mile extension is going to be at least, well, they said originally 1.2 billion with a B as in Bravo. Then they said, well, maybe more like 1.5, 1.6. My guess is it'll be 2 billion, probably more than 2 billion with inflation and cost overruns, because what do you know about any project that they ever propose? It's always going to be a cost overrun. Hell, even the Federal Reserve, they could just print money out anytime they want.
But like any good capitalist, you're asking those questions. And you ask about the ROI, the return on investment. Funny thing, that never seems to come up, because long term they know there will not be a return on this investment, but it will be an investment in planned government. And there's the difference.
Very, very interesting. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call, Mike in Depew. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who called in, really, even though most of you are in favor of the expansion and extension of the Metro Rail, at least most of the people who called in. Thank you for your input. I appreciate that. And again, I wish I could get behind it, because I really like the train. I like taking the train downtown from the Williamsville area. It's so convenient. But I can't get behind this one, man. Just can't do it. Can't find the justification for it financially. And it just seems like a lot of pie in the sky mumbo jumbo. It's going to benefit the contractors. It's going to benefit the landowners. It's going to benefit the developers. It's going to be a net cost to you. Add that in with your increased electricity cost and paying for everybody else's Green New Deal. And good luck with what's left. Here, have a crumb. Here's your paycheck for the week. A single crumb. Try not to eat it all at once. Anyway, stand by. Coming up, Tom Puckett and Buffalo's Evening News at 6 o'clock. And I want to remind you that I'll be back tomorrow between 3 and 6 following Joe Beamer, who's on the air from 1 until 3. Maybe I can steal the topic tomorrow from Joe, too. I want to do the Canadian-American thing tomorrow. Maybe. Are you boycotting Canada? Are you boycotting the United States? Is it politics or is it just convenience because crossing the bridges sucks lately? David Bellavia, 9 to 1. Tom Puckett coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News at 6. And the story of somebody getting conked in the head with a brick falling from pretty high up in the Liberty Building. Is he okay? Would I use this voice if he wasn't okay? No, he's okay. But Tom has all the details on WBEN.